talking about the differences of sativas and indicas on the brain, as well as a couple other things. We are the Cannalinguists. I am Alex Mandelberg. Here with me, as always, April O'Connor.
Hello.
And our awesome guest today, the one and only Richard Chesler.
Thank you.
Give it up for him.
Thank you very much.
We're allowing you in here even though you're wearing that Yankees cap. It's all right. We're going to let it go.
Starts with the territory already.
Yeah.
It's nice to be here on the Cunnilingus show.
I'm from Boston, so you should sit over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. We got Boston against New York sitting over here. This is an interesting match.
You guys owe us. You don't even know. You see, this is the thing. I'm sorry. You're the one who picked the fight. So I'm stepping in. This is the thing. You don't understand. Did my mic go dead?
No.
Oh, okay. Because all of a sudden I'm cut. It sounds like I cut out. You guys have to thank New York. You'd never have had that World Series. That curse never would have been broken. Never. Never, ever. If they didn't move stadiums.
You have to
thank New York. You're so fucking ungrateful, you Red Sox fans.
Hey, well,
it's like the anger of like 400 years of not winning a World Series.
Did you actually hear the story about
the shirt
that was buried in the new stadium?
Yeah, by the construction worker.
Did you hear about that, April?
No.
Yeah. There was a construction worker on the new Yankee Stadium who was a Red Sox fan, and in order to try and curse the stadium, buried a David Ortiz Red Sox t-shirt inside the concrete.
Yeah.
On the, I believe it was in the hallway from the walk to the dugout, the home dugout, out to the stadium itself, like
right.
From the locker room out to the dugout. And when they found out that the guy did it, they had to do like $1,500 worth of cement repairs to crack open the pavement, pull the shirt up, because they didn't want the shirt staying there.
Obviously.
It was.
How did they find out? See, you don't tell anybody anything.
He talked.
Stupid Red Sox fans. You can't keep your dumb mouth shut.
He's getting all like, you know, bragging to his friends like, look what I did.
Yeah, exactly. He was just getting I was getting down on there. I threw the Ortiz shirt in there. Yeah. Right.
Meanwhile, one of his friends is wicked smart and calls the Yankees and says, hey, how much would you pay me for some really valuable information?
Well, here's the thing. They found out within the first season that they were playing there. This was like the first season. And they had a really trashy first half of the season. And then they dug it up and they almost made the playoffs.
They never should have moved.
I can agree with that. I can understand never wanting to move stadiums. There was something magical about it. I got to tell you, as a lefty batter, I love the new Yankee Stadium because I could step up there and bunt a home run. The draft is so strong out to the right field.
And you'll get so many opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities. Not much pitching there right now.
But yeah, you guys should thank us. Once again, I'll say it again. You should thank the Steinbrenners for moving stadiums, because the year they moved the stadium, what happened?
As a half Red Sox fan, I thank you all the time for doing that.
The year they moved the stadium.
But
you guys can't hear me making this pantomime dick stroking.
You know what's so funny? I can feel it.
So when we were talking earlier, one of the interesting things that we were talking about was because Rich has been a comedian for 29 years.
I started when I was six.
owned two dispensaries, as well as you told me that you were friends with a comedian who's an inspiration to a lot of guys our age right now, Mr. Mitch Hepburg.
Ooh.
Mitch,
we were all big fans of him. Now, did you meet him? Did you guys know each other young? Or
Mitch and I, we had a very funny meeting, actually. I was coerced into performing in a comedy competition in Colorado in this tiny little competition, which morphed into the Aspen Comedy Fest.
Ah, okay.
And it was started by Judy Gold, who's
I love her.
You know Judy?
I think
not the comedian.
No, not the comedian.
No, she's a manager at Levity.
She's
married to Steve Marmel and the brilliant writer. And so I got off the plane in Colorado. And my luggage had gotten lost, and I was freaking PO'd, man. But lo and behold, let it be a lesson to you. Never check your weed. Always crotch it. So my luggage gets lost and I'm standing there like just fucking pissed. And this guy walks up to me and he's like, hey, are you with the comedy competition? And I'm like, yeah, why? And he goes, so am I. And I'm like, excellent, I'm Rich. And he goes, I'm Mitch. And I go, great, they lost my luggage. Do you smoke weed? And he goes, yeah. I go, do you got a pipe? And he goes, yeah.
That's the whole meme.
Now, this was like 1992 or 93, and there was a van that was coming to the airport to pick us up. I had already filled out the stupid paperwork that, you know.
Yeah, the lost luggage paperwork.
Yeah. So we step outside the door of the terminal, and Mitch has this pipe that's broken. The bowl is detached from the stem, okay? And it's like a tiny little antler pipe with this little antler bowl, if I remember correctly. And you had to – like you could fill the bowl, and then you had to push the bowl up against the stem and hold it. And light it like it was a three-hand job, you know. And so we're standing outside the doors of the terminal because you could do this back then. This was pre-9/11, you know. And so we were just standing outside the doors of the terminal like smoking weed waiting for the van to show up. And we bonded immediately and we spent 2 weeks as roommates together on that.
On that little comedy festival.
And the epilogue to the story is that there's 15 people competing in this comedy festival. And I mean, I'm trying to remember, there were a couple guys, I don't know if you'll know them, Steve Berman.
That name sounds familiar.
He's still working. You know, there's all kinds of guys that were doing this thing. And Mitch, every night, Mitch would get off stage and I'd be like, Mitch, you are the funniest guy in this thing. And I would get off stage and Mitch would be like, Chesler, man, you are the funniest motherfucker in this thing. And every night they would vote and then post the results because it was a competition. And every night of the competition, Mitch and I finished 14th and 15th. True, I swear. Steve Marmel will back that story up. That is a true story.
Oh, man, finished dead last.
Nobody got either one of us.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So we started working together, and then I went on the road with Mitch. Mitch went on the road with me, and then I went on the road with Mitch.
Wow. That's it's crazy. And then that eventually got you in the marijuana business. How did you get into the dispensary business?
The dispensary business or the marijuana business?
Well,
two different conversations.
That is two different. Mm-hmm. The dispensary business. How did you get into the dispensary?
Wrong answer. You should have started with the marijuana business because one morphed into the other.
That is true. So how did you get into it then?
When I was in eighth grade, I stole an O-House triple beam scale from science class and started breaking up ounces. And no, I'm just kidding.
Sounds about right.
I was living in New York. I moved back in 2005, and I got a card. And the first time I walked into a dispensary, it was a place on Santa Monica and Fairfax that literally had a line of people moving. I was like, I walked in and I went, oh, please. This is my dream come true. Kidding me? I dealt weed out of my living room for 500 years. Like, this was like the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And you just said, I want this for myself.
And so my buddy and I started talking about it and whatever. And then we opened a place on Pico called The Natural Way of L.A., which is still open. And unfortunately, our partnership didn't work very well. He told me there was only room for one rock star, and that was him.
Yeah.
And but he didn't play any instruments. And I was getting nosebleeds because it was stressing me out. The partnership was stressing me out. And somebody came to me with another opportunity, so I left that business and then opened another business called Grateful Meds, and that was across the street from Pink's, which Pink's should be paying me for because Lord knows how many. Thank you. God.
Yeah, no, not to mention it's the easiest way to give directions to anywhere in Los Angeles. If you go right across the street from Pink's, that's the only spot that everyone in Los Angeles goes, oh, okay, yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about.
I worked at a vegan restaurant, and I said, oh, it's right next to KPFK, which is like a public radio. Nobody knew what it went. I was like, no, it's right next to Vivid. Everybody goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's right next to the Vivid building. You're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, which is so funny because how many people, A, know where the – like, how would you know that the Vivid building is on Cahuenga as you're going over the hill on the right-hand side?
How would you know that?
I'm just saying, how would you know that? I'll tell you how you would know that. You drive by and you go, ah, oh, thank you, Steve Hirsch. How would you even know the guy's name is Steve Hirsch? Because you watch the credits.
Oh, man. You know what? Nothing to me is funnier than the fact that he built his mecha office building overlooking Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're staring right there. They're like, yeah,
how many actresses at Universal are looking up there going, I started there.
I started there, or I'll eventually finish by selling a sex video to them.
Exactly.
One or the other.
Screech.
Oh, man. He's in jail right now. He apparently stabbed a dude.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Who thought Screech was such a bad motherfucker?
I don't know. I mean, he's been whipping that cock whipping that cock out for a while.
Yeah, that's true. He's been whipping it around. So, all right, in these dispensaries, this is what I'm always confused about.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I've had this now happen, and I want you to explain, because we started talking about it in the pre-show, but I really want this explained. Why is it there are certain strains like a White Widow that when I go to one shop, it's a sativa, I go to another shop, it's an indica, and I go to another shop, and it's a hybrid?
Why does that happen?
How does that happen?
Misinformation.
Yeah, you have honest. It's just basic idiocy. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. There's just people who don't care.
They don't care too. I mean, I know specifically a spot where they're just like, well, I don't have enough indicas, or I don't have enough sativas today, so I'm gonna put Purple Urkel on the sativa side.
Listen.
And you're like, what the fuck? Because they want to have a balance on both sides of the indica and sativa.
She's partially correct. She really is, okay? I was in a shop the other day.
Some people don't know any better.
Right.
Either,
I was in a shop the other day. I asked to see the Jack. The guy handed me the Jack Herrera, and I opened it up, and I smelled it, and I was like, that's not Jack Herrera. No. I didn't say it out loud.
Yeah,
I
but just you went, knew. You were like, "This. I right. know the smell.
Thanks. So then let me see the OG. All right, that's OG. Now, I'm a guy who knows, you know, I'm a wine connoisseur. If you gave me, you know, I know wine.
Yeah.
Same way I know weed, because they're both unbelievably similar.
Yeah. Very much on the nose and the mouth.
Mouth, swish, swill, pinch, sniff. You know, I mean, you know, grandma's butt cheeks, whatever. It's all the same thing.
A rose by any other name wouldn't smell as sweet.
Exactly.
You know, you can't say it. It's like, oh, this is.
But it would smoke just as nicely.
This is jasmine. You're like, no, it's a dandelion.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes, like in business, and I learned this young because I used to work for my father. My dad used to make clothes.
Okay.
And sometimes, like a May Company or a department store would order, you know, 50 of this, and it would be broken down into smalls, mediums, and larges. But every now and then they'd fall short. So they'd cut the tag, restamp the size on it, which is not right, so they could fill the order. So you ever go to a store and you buy something that's a medium because you're a medium, and you get home and you put anything, man, this is fucking huge. How could this be? They must have mislabeled it. Maybe there's a problem. You know,
they
must
intentionally
be a
mislabel it
very often in order to fill the order.
Cocksuckers.
I know. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Cocksuckers.
Cocksuckers. They're all sucking dick while they're switching. They're, labels.
Exactly. It's, they're just
bunch
sitting there.
Of gay guys fucking getting jizz all over their face.
and then shooting it on the medium that they're like, you think it's a large, asshole.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just glue.
So that's
so that happens.
So it's so weird because there's so many. I've always been the one who just – I have blind faith in my shop. I go in there. I ask the guy. I'm like, what do you like? And if he hands it to me and I think it smells okay, I used to get it. I didn't – it took me a while to become educated. Mm-hmm. So now it's like this next level where I find out that I kept wondering. I'm like, well, why does Jack smell different from here to here to here to here? And I know there's 500 different strains of Jack.
But there should be an absolute consistency. If it's Super Jack – or Jack.
It
or
has that sweet, Jumpin' Jack. Sweet, minty.
Or, no. Jumpin' Jack, I don't know. But if it's like, what is it?
J1.
J1
is skunk number one crossed with Jack.
Jack, right. Okay. So J1, Jack, Super Jack. You know, if it's a strain of Jack Herrera, and I knew Jack Herrera, then.
R.I.P.
Then it's going to have that musty Jackness to it.
It
right?
has that. It's that like sweet kind of minty
yes.
smell, and then also like you can tell by like when you watch the plants grow, you can tell the difference between an indica and a sativa. You know
that I've heard.
Indicas,
you get the long, thin, and the
indicas are more
short and
stout
fat.
And fat. And then the, you know, sativas grow really tall. They're also leafier and more fluffy. Then indicas are more tight and dense.
That I've heard as well.
The easiest way to look at a plant and tell if it's indica or sativa is, honest to God, the width of the leaf.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. The leaf on a sativa plant are always going to be thicker.
Sativa?
No, indica.
Indica.
Did I say sativa?
I think so.
What's that we smoked?
This is a sativa.
Well, God bless it then. So, no, the leaves on an indica plant are always going to be fatter, wider, and in most cases, richer and darker.
Okay.
Sativa leaves are stringier. Sativa buds, when they're growing, have the bract are not as thick and full yet.
Now, does that have anything to do with why normally indicas have a higher THC content than sativas? Because isn't that normal? Isn't it normal that the indica will have like a – indicas can carry something like 22 to 24, where sativas are usually like an 18? Does that have anything to do with that?
I think it's more in the genetics.
Okay.
You know, I think that you can have a high THC, you know, like sour diesel is very high in THC.
Absolutely. So is Baba.
Ah, okay. So, I mean, I remember when I heard about lamb's bread, everyone was like, oh, lamb's bread, here's a high THC content sativa.
Bob Marley used to smoke lamb's bread, man. Oh, you must try this.
Here's a good question.
Yes.
About OG. People put OG, just, you know, OG is like a cousin of sour diesel as well.
Correct.
Chem dog. So
correct.
They put that always as indica, but it grows like a sativa. It's a tall motherfucker.
She just got me a little chubbed out that you knew that.
Oh, yes. She is.
No,
the,
really? And there's no Mr. guy?
She's the half mast?
No, the fact that you knew that, I'm a bit of a sapiosexual. Like, I get turned on by smart people.
Oh,
you know?
I'm from Massachusetts. That's where Chem Dog originated.
Oh, snap. Throwing it down for the mass town.
Western Mass.
Beantown.
Then
you say that and his chub's gone. He's like, oh, motherfucker. That's right. You're from Boston.
I'm not sure that it originated there. I think Chem Dog was crossed with Massachusetts Super Skunk 1 and then became Diesel. But Chem Dog, I think, came from Colorado. At least, I think.
No, that's fine.
There's a whole section on Western Mass strains in the Canna Bible.
Yeah, I believe that.
And Chem Dog is one of
them. Is
that.
It? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So are you primarily – do you smoke more indica or sativa, April? Are you more of a – do you have preference?
I prefer indica. I do, typically. But I do like sativa, but it has to have a little underlying indica in it, typically.
Okay.
I don't know. What
about you, Rich? Are you more of an indica?
I prefer indicas, but I can't really find good pure indicas anymore, so I gravitate towards OG.
See, that's the weird thing.
Which is not an indica, by the way.
You were the first person.
Any shop, by the way, shop who listens to your show, if you have OG listed on your board as an indica, number one, you're a stupid person.
Right.
And two, please change it.
And it's because same thing with sour diesel. They're so high in THC that they can be, you know.
They smoke like indicas, but they're sativa.
They're stony. So
well, that was how I always felt about this Phyllis Diller was I went, this was a pure sativa that to me felt, you know, I still got a little bit of the body high and all that stuff. And so it felt a little bit indica or more of a hybrid to me.
Yeah, it could have a little bit of both. I mean, just like humans, it's like, is there any pure Irish person out there? Or everybody's like a little bit of this and a little bit of that, like down the line. It's like you got a little bit of, you know, you might have a little like – Native American in you. You might have a little bit of Jewish in you.
Do you got any Jewish in you?
No, I don't want any.
Right, that is not what I was going to say.
Not right now.
Wait, hold on. Look at me for just a second. Okay. No, not right now.
Rich reaching for the bong, by the way, as our favorite minute of the show approaches, the 20-minute mark.
What happens there?
We all smoke.
Did I step on his punchline?
We air it 4 o'clock.
You set me up for the second one. I was curious just because I like Jewish girls. That was literally the impetus for my question.
Yeah.
No, it was. I swear to God. I could have done it the other
way. That's the thing. Redheads, either Jewish or Irish Catholic.
But I dated a Jewish redhead.
Occasionally German. as I found out.
I've actually seen redheaded Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, I love redheads.
I've seen Israeli redheads. I've seen, like, I've just seen, like, all different types.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
I've
pop
had people
out everywhere.
I mean, I've had people come up to me and talk to me in Russian because they thought I was Russian. I was like, meh. They're like, you look Russian. I'm like, okay.
Okay. She's a reader, Paul. I can tell. She's a reader. I know. She's a.
So, yeah, at the.
You're going to have to chain her down.
At this moment at 420, we will be smoking Phyllis Diller. Yeah, Phyllis Diller.
By the way, you need a sound effect.
Get it cracking.
I do need a sound effect.
So, like,
effect
every
for
time
Phyllis.
You say Phyllis Diller, you have her laughing. My,
yeah.
And when you say diesel, you have like a.
I have an APC.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend was saying that we should load up some sound effects.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to bring that in. I could definitely have way more fun than is necessary in a sound. But listen, I learned how to make the echo thing on this, you've already seen how much fun I have with my little echo effect every time I say someone's name. I'm like, yeah, I get to echo with the name. Woo!
I got some fucking sound effects.
I got to sit at the computer.
For a podcast at Skid Row Studios, and they're like, we're never letting April sit at the computer again, because I just they talk about cars, I'd be like,
vroom, vroom, zing, zing, vroom. Yeah, I have
like,
an engineer.
You're never sitting at the board again. I was like, no, this is so much fun.
You know,
they're like, oh, I got sick, and then I find puke. They're like, that's disgusting stuff.
What were you saying, Rich?
The engineer on my show, The Grapes of Laugh, on the John Lovitz Comedy Network, he, who's no longer with the show, by the way, he would do the same thing. I mean, I would tell him, like, look, feel through it. Be organic with it. But he just, like, anything said, you know. Anytime anybody said anything about weed, I'd smoke weed every day. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, every time, like, I say the word bong, I go,
I had fun with it, though.
Oh, this wine is very fruity.
Hey! Saw that coming.
Thank you so much for seeing that coming.
Say,
God.
Hey, what happened to
but
the,
let's not
the Lovitz closed, right?
Yeah, the club closed. The network's still up.
Oh,
I go back
good.
To work next Tuesday. Okay, I don't want to digress, though, because I know you wanted to talk about the thing about the Indica Sativa.
Yes, I
okay,
did. Please.
I know.
Please, so. let's talk about that, because I...
Are we at the 20 yet?
We are. We at the 20 mark. Go ahead and light
rip
her
it.
Up, baby.
Let her rip.
I've always been curious because someone who suffers from ADD and
what?
And the stomach disorders, normally, from what I've been told, indicas are what I should be smoking.
Sativa always settles my stomach.
That's the weird thing is I've always smoked. Sativas have relaxed my mind. Sativas have relaxed my stomach and all that, but... As a lot of people will tell me, sometimes that's more of an indica job. So I always wonder, you know, is it maybe just my body metabolism that's a little bit different? What could that be that is causing that?
All right. First of all, one thing that I profess is to always, like all the shops, they should really train their people and educate them so that they can really help people, you know, and their ailments. Not just, you know, sell stoners weed.
Yeah, that is very true. I've been surprised how many real patients I see walk into shops now who go, no, I heard that this can really help me.
Absolutely, and there's no question about it, all right? So you should have people behind the counter who are qualified to really recommend strains for what your ailments really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that in every article I've ever read, all the research I've ever done, they always say that any psycho react like anything that's psychoactive. If you're schizophrenic, if you suffer from ADD, anything like that, sativas only exacerbate the problem.
Yes, I agree.
You want to be smoking indicas,
okay.
Or if you can't smoke a pure indica, smoke an indica dominant hybrid.
So if I had walked into a shop that you had owned, what would be a specific strain that you would suggest? Did you have a favorite for something like that when people would come in?
For you?
Yeah.
It's not about favorite, really. I mean, I would literally ask people, like, if you were, you know, it really depends. What's the problem?
I mean, for me, my big issue has always been that I've always said when I was sober, when I was in high school, I was uncomfortable in my own skin. I was the perfect ADD case where it was, if I sat down to do homework, I couldn't do homework because if anything else entered my brain, that was the most dominant thought in my brain until another thought was in my brain. And then that was, and they come in a mile a minute And I couldn't just for someone I do ADR. I sit on a quiet soundstage for sometimes 9 hours a day. That used to be hell for me.
Sure.
Sitting still quietly was an impossibility.
Indicas.
Indicas. Yeah. I might have to try. I've always been so scared of it because I always said, I was like, oh, if I smoked indica as much as I smoke sativa, I'd be useless. I wouldn't be able to move.
It's not necessarily true, though, because it just can't, like, just like too much of anything can be bad. You know, so if you, like, if I can handle a little bit of sativa, but if I smoke a bunch, then I kind of, you know, I get a little paranoid because I'm already pretty hyper as is. I smoke to calm down. So if you're, you know, but if you smoke too much indica, then you get sleepy and hungry, you know, but it's just, you know, you just got to find a balance or like you literally mix two together like that. Besides finding a perfect like
little salad,
could make
instead
your
of like
own.
A perfect like finding a perfect like 60-40 indica dominant with a little bit of sativa so you can have like, you know,
by
function.
The way, unless I know the grower, and seriously, I know growers, unless I know the grower really. I don't know that the guy – how the fuck does the guy behind the counter really know unless he's having conversations with the grower?
Yeah, and you don't know what kind of stuff they're putting in it if they're beefing it up with PGRs and
– Well, yeah, you can take one hit of any – if you know anything, you can take one hit and taste chem.
I have been able to. That's one of the few things that my palate has at least gotten to the point where if I hit it – I can taste if you used Miracle Grow on it.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I taste Miracle
I started.
Grow. Who the fuck puts Miracle Grow in weed?
When I started growing.
Kill them. If you do that, kill yourself.
When I started growing, it was Miracle Grow and Super Bloom. I was 15 maybe.
Wow.
14 or 15. And the guy who taught us Miracle Grow and Super Bloom. Okay.
You didn't even put Miracle Grow on your tomatoes.
Well, actually you did back then, you know.
Yeah, no, this is before they knew anything.
And no, there were people who knew, but they weren't around Sherman Oaks. Okay. When I was going to Van Nuys High School, they weren't telling me, you know, no. We were going to Stevenson's Pharmacy, and the guy who worked there went, tomatoes? I got you covered.
Tomatoes?
Right.
Wink, wink.
Then I got smart, and I found a guy, and I said, look, turn me onto some soil that doesn't have, you know, let's start working organic. So then he gave me Uncle Malcolm's, this great soil, this Whitney Farms Uncle Malcolm's, which was all organic and phenomenal. Then we went to back guano and fish emulsion, and, you know, we totally left the chem behind.
Yeah, it seems like that because I even remember the first time that I played around with growing a plant was even back then people were telling me half the people would go Miracle-Gro and half the people would go, oh my God, that's poison. This was when we were just finding out really that like don't ever put Miracle-Gro on weed.
Right. But
now almost anybody knows.
Or anything that you're going to consume, of course. But now you know that. It's for roses. It's for plants. But you didn't, you know, again, they tell you, oh, you want to grow killer buds?
Yeah.
You know?
And that was the thing. They grew huge.
Beautiful.
They grew huge and beautiful and tasted like
ass burn.
Terrible. Just
tasted like
ass burn. Worst tasting ever, ever, ever.
And you'd work so hard to cure them right, and they'd still taste like ass burn.
Yeah.
No matter how you sliced it.
No, the one plant that I ever had,
I know.
Which unfortunately, when we went to move it, we broke the stalk. We broke the main stalk. Mm. So we killed the plant in trying to move it. It was like 6 feet tall, so we had to harvest the whole thing once.
Broke it completely? Or
broke it right in half. It was such a sad day. Such a sad day.
Sometimes if you bend it a little bit.
Yeah, we tried saving it. It started dying and it started before it molded. We're like, we just got to cut all this off and
I think
cure
we
it.
All have losing a plant story like that. Do you have one?
Except it's my only plant that I ever grew.
But last year at the Emerald Cup, I sat in it was you know, a little lecture on transdermal application, and they were talking a lot about CBD products. And
okay.
CBD, you actually, you get a higher concentration of CBD if you harvest 2 weeks early. Interesting fact.
Really?
That's what they said.
Yeah, when the glands are translucent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that
before they turn milky and.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
A lot of people are afraid to harvest early because they see it as a loss of weight.
Yeah.
But if you're growing for yourself, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Or if you're growing, like if you're turning If you're going to take your whole crop and turn it into, you know,
something else,
a tincture or a topical or, okay, you know, you're going to use your whole crop for something.
Then cut it early, because you have higher CBD.
Exactly. Right.
That makes a lot of sense. I remember there was a strain they called the pre-91 Bubba. So it was a strain of Bubba from pre-1991.
They're saying
pre-98.
It might be pre-98.
Yeah.
But they're saying that it's funny because the guy went, I can't find anyone to grow it because it's ridiculously high CBD. It's not very high THC, and it's so leafy. The weight of it is almost nothing. So the guy said, he's like, it doesn't get you that high. It's true medicine. And the amount that you get for the weight is huge because of how leafy it is. I can't get anyone to grow it is the problem because no one wants to grow something that you can't sell as much.
I do too. And I love Bubba Kush. Yeah, and it's one of my favorites.
Bubba's one of my favorites.
Me too.
Yeah.
Really?
Hands down. Fuck yeah.
It's a good indica. Listen, it's not too stony.
I'm getting misinformation at dispensaries. I need to stop listening to those people.
There's loads of misinformation.
There's very few true indicas that you can get anymore, okay? Seriously. Bubba, Granddaddy. If you can
now, when you say Bubba, do you mean the pre-98 or just any Bubba?
Bubba Kush, and if you can find
Hindu Kush, Hindu Master Kush,
yeah, but it's got to be real Master, real HK. Like if it's not, and look at the bud, and if the leaf on it isn't,
if it's not a short little fat fuck, you can tell.
It's not real. Then they're just trying to.
You should be able to squeeze it, and it doesn't break apart. Is what I've been explained. Well, with those sometimes. Is that not always true?
What if the guy's weed is dry?
Yeah, and same thing is like you could have a sativa that they boost with a bunch of like steroids, PGRs that they're gonna
Now I don't know what those are. Explain that to me. What is a PGR?
It's like a phospho load, like where you're putting a lot of phosphorus stuff to make it like hardens it.
Oh,
makes it
okay.
Really, like people do it for weight, but it's actually
beefs
really
up from the inside. It creates thickness and density to the bud.
Okay.
You can tell by looking at it. You know, if you've seen that they're like more round and popcorny and like the hairs are longer.
Yeah. Actually, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like steroids for weed, essentially.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure it out so anyone who's listening could know
what
from looking.
What does it stand for again? My brain is farting. It's like
PGR?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the P is phosphorus. I can't even speak right now. P is phosphorus.
No, it has to do with
today's show is brought to you by the letter P. P, phosphorus. Are we getting an answer?
Yep.
Yeah.
What is it?
Plant growth regulators.
Plant growth regulator. Oh, well, I lied. The one letter that I took a shot at, I'm like, well, I know this one is that. Fucking wrong, Alex.
I never use anything like that. When I grow, I'm an outdoor guy in a trash can.
Really? Outdoor, huh?
Outdoor.
And you don't believe in the grow poisons. Lamps or any of that stuff?
Oh, certainly, but I just don't do it. It's
because the way it was explained to me, when you have a grow lamp, you get to regulate how much day, how much night, how much sleep, and, But does it, I mean, how much?
If you got a yard with great sunlight, who gives a fuck? And why pay the money to the electric company? Let Mother Nature do the work.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and then you can do light depth. You can harvest all year round.
Oh, yeah. Light deprivation.
That's what people are doing now.
Light deprivation is as good as some greenhouse work that I've seen. I mean, I've seen some great greenhouse stuff. Light deprivation is like a step up.
Well, I mean, it's the same as a greenhouse, except for you can harvest all year round.
Exactly.
You know, you're taking away light when the days are longer than 12 hours, and you're supplementing light when it's shorter.
Right. So that you're creating longer days for the plant. You're letting the plant flower, thinking that the days are having more sunlight.
This is what I've heard about, like keeping your plant almost like on an 18-hour day.
No, 18 is going to be more veg growth.
Oh, okay.
12 and 12, 12 hours of light, 12 hours
12
of darkness.
Okay, 12 and 12.
When a plant will flower.
Okay.
So during the summer where we have really long days, you're gonna put a tarp over it and block out the light.
Okay.
And then, you know, during the winter when the days are shorter, you know,
so this is literally like the next step of growing.
Yeah, I mean you're definitely going to save.
No, it's the step currently.
That's what people are doing now. I mean, that's how you're getting a lot of stuff that people are passing as indoor, but it looks really nice because it's still a controlled environment, but you're getting the beef from the sun.
I do feel like I've seen so much prettier outdoors than I remember. I remember I used to go into shops and the outdoor, I was like, yeah, don't even show me the outdoor. It looked like just trashy, junk, you know, stressy weed. And now all of a sudden I'm going to places and they're going, well, they'll have it color coordinated for your sativas, your indigas, your hybrids, and then your indoors and your outdoors.
And then your greenhouse typically.
And your greenhouse. And I got to tell you, it's getting to the point. I used to always be able to tell the difference between indoor and outdoor. Now, blindfolded, some of them, I can't tell the difference between indoor and outdoor.
There you have it.
You can tell mainly by looking at the size of the stalks.
Because you were at the Emerald Cup, which is only outdoor, correct?
It's only outdoor. Emerald Cup is the longest running cannabis cup in California, and it's all organic outdoors. So this is like where all the hippies come off the mountains and they battle. This year there was over six.
Weed and granola, brah.
And I was with a guy last night from the mountain.
Oh, yeah. The mountain men. It was really funny because I went, you know, last year as well. So you walk, you're like, I'm thinking that the predominant smell at a cannabis cup is going to be cannabis, right?
Cannabis, right. Yeah.
Nope, patchouli. I mean, I'm not surprised.
I'm surprised I didn't put any on this morning.
Yeah. But I was just like, man, I smell a lot of fucking patchouli.
I love patchouli.
Do you or do you not like patchouli?
I actually like patchouli because I'm really into, my mom hates it. I used to wear it when I was a kid. And that was like the one hippie thing that's like a staple. But I'm into like aromatherapy and essential oils. And patchouli actually gives you physical energy. So I like to burn it incense in my house. So like if I'm cleaning and stuff, some like peppermint's really good for like mental alertness and some stuff gives you physical energy. So it's a really good thing if you want to get out
incense
and bang out the day.
Yeah.
Suck the day's dick.
I love patchouli. I actually found this place in Venice Beach years ago that had this patchouli that was from like 1970 and it had a date on the label.
Oh, wow.
Oh, geez.
The shop is still there and the woman who sold it to me is still there and she still has oils from her old store with those same labels and the dates. She's out of the patchouli. I bought five bottles of it or six bottles of it. I think I have three or four left. I gave one away to a friend of mine as a gift. But it's the best patchouli, I swear, that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was such a thing amongst you hippies.
Yeah, fucking hippies.
See, that's the thing. I need to join this hippie movement, I guess. I'm so outside it, man.
It just is.
It just is who you are, bro.
The Emerald Cup, though, this year, they had over 600.
That's my money clip.
Over 600 Grateful Dead money clip.
Grateful Dead money clip. The man truly is.
They had, when the Emerald Cup first started, they had like, you know, under 50 entrants for the first few years.
Right.
And it was very low pro. They didn't really promote it. It was just kind of an industry like secret thing. But
if you knew, you knew. If not, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. And I think this year was the 11th that they've had, if I'm correct.
Sounds about right. I feel like the first one was 2002.
And they said that they were expecting over 300 entries. There were over 600 entries.
Nice. And it's all outdoor.
And it's all outdoor organic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should have asked my man about this yesterday.
I mean, that means that this they grossed like $500,000, more than $500,000 on entries alone.
Wow.
Because it costs $1,000, I think, to enter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cha-ching, that hit the cha-ching.
Wow, 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 wow.
Cha-ching,
wow,
cha-ching.
Until we get our soundboard, we're just going to make the sounds.
For those of you who don't have the camera link up, which is everyone listening, we're just pushing our fingers on the table as if we're hitting the button.
Well, we have like little squares on the tablecloth that you can hit to make pretend like they were buttons.
Wow.
But that's about.
I want to tell you one more thing about the Emerald Cup that I bumped into this guy, and it was
lucky
so.
Him.
No, this okay. The first dispensary I ever worked at was the pharmacy.
Okay,
really,
and that was in 2007. And we carried this product that they're kind of like essential oils, but they're called spagyrics. Have you ever heard? Do you know what a spagyric is?
Well, it's like when your stomach doesn't feel very good.
No.
And you get spagyric in your
gynecologist. No. All right, this is really rad. Spagyrics is alchemy. It's like taking things apart and making them whole. It's not just essential oils, but you're also mixing in. You're burning the product and mixing the ash into it. It's okay. It's pretty stinking rad. So anyways, back then they had this really cool stuff, and I had a couple products from the guy. He had one that was like it was called Night Owl, and it had like three different kinds of ginseng in it, and it had yerba mate and then cannabis, and it was like a tincture, like a little oil drop that you put under your tongue.
Okay.
And so my friend was walking around. She makes medicated honey pot. Shout out. And they bumped into this guy who had also had honey with his spagyrics in it, and they started talking to each other, and then they kind of shooed me over, and I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Yeah, have you ever heard of this?" I was like, "Wait, is it a little blue container?" I'm like, "Oh, like LA, the pharmacy was the only place that carried this guy's stuff."
Oh,
he's
wow.
like a medicine man. I mean, he had the raddest stuff. I mean, he had stuff that was like, I mean, he had like psychedelic stuff. He had like some rat. Like I was like,
that's
I wanted
the crazy
to get
thing
that
some
like,
of these things. Like I remember the first HempCon that I went to. What I was most blown away with was not the dispensaries or any of the shatters or the oils or this or that. There was a guy.
Ingestibles.
There was a guy who was the leading beekeeper in Northern California. The guy had the biggest bee farm there was, creating some of the cleanest, most organic honey. And he was professing how good honey was for you. I'm like, of course honey's good for you.
It really
and
is.
He went, and I realized with all the medical benefits of honey and the medical benefits of cannabis, I realized I have the best honey. I'm going to find the best cannabis. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find the best tea leaves. And he mixed them together. Mm-hmm. And you would just take this, you would stir it up and you would put a scoop of it into hot water. You'd let it steep. Then you'd strain it. And it was not just delicious, but as someone who works with my voice, and it was so medically wonderful.
It's like whole.
It really was. And that was the most amazing thing that I got, was this jar of marijuana tea honey. And that was the thing that blew me away when I was there. So it's really crazy when you go to these places. Sometimes the most impressive thing you'll find is not just an awesome flower. Because, no matter what, with all the new inventions and everything, I quit smoking cigarettes and switched
those
to the vaporizer.
Those are worse for you.
That's what some people say.
I have to agree with that.
Those people who say that it's worse for you, just for the record, are these – what do you call them again? Oh, yeah. Scientists. Medical experts, people who have been doing research on them for several years now, and a new report just came out again just this past week.
Your nicotine equivalent to methadone. Okay,
that is
worse. It's worse for
it's
you.
Worse
it's
for
harder
you.
To kick. It's just like
those are bad.
But so, I can do it indoors. That's the one thing about it. I can sneak this indoors.
Sometimes.
Dude,
they
are starting to ban it. Beat myself in the head with a hammer.
But that was
indoors,
the thing. I felt like maybe this is just the conspiracy theorist in me. But I felt like there. Everyone said that this stuff was safe, that it was better, that it was okay, and then the tobacco company tried to get on board with it and start doing their own, and nobody wanted to buy Philip Morris's e-cigarettes. They mail free batteries to people for Marlboro. I've got three of them that they've mailed to me because I used to smoke Marlboros. And nobody wants to buy it. And now all of a sudden there are reports saying that they're bad.
You just want to smoke, dude.
I do want
to
smoke.
Listen to you.
Listen
to it and we're done. Are you kidding yourself? We're smoking.
It's the same.
Come on, we're putting carcinogens in our lungs. The one thing about marijuana is, for some reason, it has a very, 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 very low tar, and no one's ever died or had gotten lung cancer or emphysema from smoking marijuana. There's not one recorded case of it.
It's like with veganism, right? Then when you're vegan, all you do is eat like fake processed soy meats, right?
Yeah.
And then there's all this terrible – then there's like tons of information about soy being really bad for you, which is absolutely accurate.
Totally.
But then the vegans are like, oh, no, that's the dairy industry that does that. And you're like, nah.
No, it's Monsanto that does that.
There's corruption in all of it, but it's like – Yeah. If you're going to eat vegan, eat fucking vegetables is eat the bottom line. You
doll.
Know? If you're going to not, if
lentils,
you're going to quit smoking, don't smoke.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're going to supplement it, like there's a really
quinoa the new one instead of soy?
Well, quinoa is a grain that has the highest amount of protein in
correct.
It.
Correct. Yeah.
But I mean, still people like that are vegan. They're like, oh, I'm going to be vegan, but I still want a burger. So I'm going to eat this disgusting thing that's made of processed GMO soy and wheat gluten and all this and
textured
junk.
Vegetable protein, which is the other thing you're supposed to stay away from.
It's oof. Gross. I mean, you're basically, I mean, you might as well eat meat at this point because that's even worse for your body.
Yeah.
You know, and then they think it's skewed wow. because they're like, oh, well, no, it's the dairy industry the meat industry that wants you to do that. And then like, yeah, I mean, no.
Okay. So Mitch and I, because when I met Mitch in 1992, I was a vegan.
Okay.
All right. I was vegetarian for almost 14 years, vegan for about 7.
Yeah, I was about 7.
And I used to eat Morningstar Farms products. Oh. And this was back in 1992, 3, 4. There was no information.
Yeah, there wasn't much information.
All we knew is, hey, I'm eating chicken nuggets and
right.
burgers and sausage. And Mitch used to just crumb on
your
me all the time.
Your intentions were pure.
My intentions were totally pure. But knowing now what we know – and by the way, I don't know if back then – the food was even GMO.
Well, no, GMOs got introduced into our food supply in the mid-90s. So
okay,
in
so
92, you were actually okay.
You're right. But still the TVP, there's still an issue with the TVP that I just read a couple weeks ago that like you shouldn't be eating textured vegetable protein anymore.
Now, what exactly is that? Just
hydrolyzed
that's
wheat,
it.
Wheat protein.
There you go.
Like
that's
that.
Why. Anything that says hydrolyzed.
Anything that's hard to pronounce.
Don't eat it.
Yeah,
if it's got a wrapper on it, don't eat it. If it has things in it, you can't. That, I used to live by that. I'm not kidding. If it has things in it, you can't pronounce. You shouldn't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I read a book called Fit for Life. It was
Does that include xanthium gum?
No, you can pronounce that.
Okay.
No, well, it's a thickener, okay. But you shouldn't.
Well, xanthium gum, and then there's guar gum.
I love her.
Guar gum is made from a bean, and xanthium gum is a inactive bacteria. So that just doesn't sound good to
right.
me. But what it is it helps things stick together because I've been gluten-free for a really long time. So when you have you need to have something to create that stickiness. And if you're vegan specifically, you can't have egg be your binder. So you need some sort of binder, and that's where these things come in. Now, xanthium gum is weird, I think. You know what?
But there is a new one.
What is the new
one? Pea protein.
Oh, pea protein's pretty cool.
Right. They're making mayonnaise out of pea protein now.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean.
And Best Foods just filed a court injunction against Simply Mayo to make them stop using the word mayonnaise on their label because there's no egg in it. And in the definition of mayonnaise.
Yeah, mayonnaise is an egg oil. That is what it's what mayo. That's why
egg,
I don't
egg
eat
oil,
mayo.
But Hellmann's is losing sales
emulsion.
On it, and that's why they're doing it. Right? They're emulsifying with pea protein.
I made paleo mayonnaise, and it was pretty bomb. It was from coconut oil and egg.
Yeah.
And mustard.
Yeah,
and turmeric.
My roommate's big on the paleo thing, and what's interesting about the paleo to me is that. First of all, it's the only diet that I can kind of get with because I'm a meat and potatoes guy.
Yeah.
I've always been. I love red meat. I love potatoes.
Although potatoes are
not
on the list
cancer.
For paleo.
What? It's not? I thought
sweet potatoes are, but not regular potatoes. That's why I'm Irish. I'm like, I want to go paleo, but no potatoes.
God, wait, no potatoes? Okay, then fuck
deal
paleo.
Breaker.
Deal breaker right there. Potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about paleo food is it's so fucking hearty and filling. I eat three bites and I'm just it just sits in your stomach like a fucking
what is it like
rock.
Chicken pot pie?
High fat, high
yeah.
oil.
Well, no, not chicken pot pie because no breads, no starches, no flour.
It's no white flour.
It's no grains at all.
Yeah, no grains at all, no flours, no sugar.
It's no sugar, but you can have honey and you can have maple sugar.
Yeah.
There's no salt, but you could use like a little Himalayan or whatever, or
right.
coconut aminos and things like there's ways
yeah, we
of
used
getting
a lot of
Bragg's.
Coconut aminos. Yeah.
And then it's, and then there's,
can you use Dr. Bragg's?
That I'm not so sure about.
Okay.
I like Dr. Bragg though too. There's the, and then the other thing is that you can do like some legumes. So that takes away.
Arr?
Yeah. So no peanuts, no beans at all.
Oh. no. Yeah. See, I can't live without my sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds are okay. Seeds and nuts are okay.
No lentils?
But no legumes.
No lentils?
And peanut is considered a legume.
Yes, it is. No lentils?
No lentils. No beef. Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, man. See, I like me some lentil soup.
Yeah.
No, love me some lentil.
So that's why it's like, it's an interesting thing, but I studied nutrition in New York City, and the way that we talked about, there's no one ultimate diet for everyone.
Right.
Because everybody's different. Your physiology is different. Your activity level is different. Your age is different.
Your blood type is different.
All these different things. There's no, you can't say this is the one cure-all, be-all diet. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, fucking try something else or do what works for you. Like me, I could eat mostly paleo, but I need my fucking potatoes or like you need your beans or whatever. It's like, I mean, I get it. I've seen people drop tons of weight. And honestly, I think that fat, eating high fat, as long as it's good fat, is actually really good for you.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Some good fats, absolutely. Yeah. Some good fats.
Yeah.
Well, your stomach will empty faster if you don't have fat in your stomach. It actually slows your digestion.
People at home are going, is this a weed show or a health show?
Yeah, I smoke a lot of weed, so I like food.
Yeah, exactly. When you smoke a lot of weed, you can't help it.
I know, right?
Can't help it become a bit of a foodie.
Dude, spend 400 Grateful Dead shows in the parking lot listening to fucking vegans, but hey, bro, veggie this and
veggie samosas.
Are you kidding? My first Tempe burger was in the parking lot of a dead show. And I can tell you that my favorite food on acid is a freaking Tempe burger, man. Coming out of a dead show, blazing my face off. All I wanted to do was find that little girl in the skirt with the freaking Tempe burger.
What's your number of dead shows? How many did you get to?
I think it's like 426, but
wow,
I'm not 100% sure.
No, I can understand where it gets hot.
It's a lot.
Did you celebrate the 420th one?
No,
my dad. He toured with the Dead a bunch.
Yeah,
I think his number was in the 150s.
That's still a lot of shows.
It's still a lot of shows. A director that he worked with, you might know this name, Alan Arkish.
Yes.
Alan Arkish used to be a roadie for the Dead, is a huge Deadhead.
I think I've heard this.
And he, I think, is the biggest number I've heard of. He's somewhere in the sixes, I think.
Well, yeah, but he was also touring with the band.
Yeah, he was touring with the band. It is definitely different.
But yeah, I am.
Do we have to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we are getting close. We're going to have to start wrapping up soon.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, it's been so much fun.
How much fun do we have?
We had a bunch of fun. We got a couple minutes left. What you got coming up for you, Rich? What's the next few weeks for you? Any shows?
January 6th, I will be at Harvell's in Long Beach.
Very
Tuesday,
nice.
Tuesday, January 6th. And that is also the date that my talk show comes back on the air, The Grapes of Laugh.
Ah, very nice. Oh, that's the wine show that you do, correct?
Yeah, it's like a late night talk show with wine tasting.
That's a lot of fun. That sounds like a ball.
Yeah, and it's
I'm a bit of a wino myself.
Are you?
So, oh yeah, you didn't see my wine fridge out there?
Well, we're gonna go look when we're done.
We'll go take a look.
That shit.
It's sponsored by K&L Wines in Hollywood.
Oh, nice.
And they do a great job. So you'll have to go in there and tell them that you heard about the show.
I will.
And yeah, it's like a late night talk show with wine tasting, and you know we getting really good guests and people in the wine industry, and it's
very cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to hook you up with my buddy Jeff Fisher runs Habit Winery. I don't know if you've ever heard of them,
absolutely.
But very delicious wine.
Yeah, let's
very,
get him
very
in.
Delicious.
Let's but, get them in. Where are they?
He's not that far. I think I want to say like the San Luis Obispo area.
Beautiful. Is he growing Syrah? I'll have him on my show.
You're going to have to ask him because I remember I only just found out from talking to him this year. Like, he was talking to me about how this was a very high fruit year. There's a lot of fruit. And he was trying to get rid of it because he has a lease that no matter what, he gets all the grapes off of this land. And he was explaining to me how with
I'll
the leases
some.
– it can go either way.
I'll take some.
Yeah.
I want to make some wine. Tell him I'll take a half a ton and I'll make my first I'm going to try and make my first wine.
Oh, it'd be interesting. Yeah. But yeah,
we'll
I have no idea how crazy the winemaking world is. How about you, April? What you got going on?
I will be at Flappers on Saturday the 10th in the Yoohoo Room.
Very nice.
7:30 show. And then I will... That's January 10th, and then the 12th I'm doing Crispy.
Oh, nice.
The middle show.
I think I'm on that Crispy show as well. I've also got January 16th, I believe, 16th or 17th. I'm going to have to check. We have another show before then, so I'll be able to be definite. We have the Performing Under the Influence again at the Hollywood Hotel. We got a great lineup this time.
When is this one? I can do that.
It's a good. It's a fun show. If you, I don't know if you've heard about it, Rich. We have usually about 10 comedians. Everybody gets 7 minutes stone sober. You have to stay stone sober all day.
Right.
And then as soon as you get off stage, you have about an hour and a half to just get as fucked as you can get on whatever you want to get fucked on. And then you get up and you do usually about 10 to 12 minutes as fucked as you can. And the second half of the show.
I'm in.
Both half of the show are usually wind up being a lot of fun. I'll let you know if you want in on that show. I booked that show.
We should do like a 420 one, like
we have a whole 420 special one planned. Trust, this is me and Quincy you're talking to.
Yeah. By the way,
we got something planned for that.
When is it again? The next one?
I think January 16th. Like I said, I'm gonna have to check on that. I'm probably getting that date wrong.
And just so they know, The Grapes of Laugh is on the John Lovitz Comedy Network, which is jlcn.tv.
Very cool. Do you have a Twitter or a
Richard Chassler.
Richard Chassler. Is it
C-H-A-S-S-L-E-R.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And the you know, it's the website's the same thing, richardchassler.com. And February, I'll be at the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival, and we're going to be doing the show live from there. With comics and wine, and it's going to be a whole.
Oh, very awesome. You know, I was thinking about entering into the Slow Festival. I might have to do that now. That gives me some reason to enter down into that Slow Festival. Yeah. That might be a good time.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And there's going to be like a lot of fun. Load of like ridiculous wine. And like my buddy from La Ventura is the winemaker, is going to come on one day. We're going to do a La Ventura tasting, and that's like $100 bottle. That's
That sounds like
crazy Bordeaux blends.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Well, I am Alex Mandelberg. You can follow me at A Mandelberg or at A Funny Jew. We're keeping the competition going. So far, at A Mandelberg. My name is winning.
Well,
my
name you're getting all these shout-outs
is winning.
From our lovely hosts of our podcast, the Crab Diving Network.
My roommate decided to make a Twitter handle of me because he found the Twitter handle at A Funny Jew. And he's like, this is a great Twitter handle. I was like, yeah, but I already have my name. And he went, no one can spell your fucking name, bro. So I've been trying to see if I can if I can get more followers than myself on Facebook. So you can follow me at A Mandelberg, which I suggest you do. Or if you want, at A Funny Jew. Because I guess that's a good name.
And Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Yeah, enjoy your New Year.
Drive safe. Remember, they can't detect weed, but they can smell alcohol on your breath. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, darn right. Listen, hey, I tell everybody, listen, on New Year's Eve, AAA does a really awesome thing. You could check on their website. They will give you 5 miles free tow, even if you are not a AAA member. They'll tow you in the car.
They call it Tipsy Toe, right?
They call it Tipsy Toe. It's in, I think, every city AAA is in. So,
and the trains are free, too.
Yeah, please have fun. Be safe. Happy New Year. Yeah, we'll air after New Year, but whatever. We'll say it anyways. Thank you guys so much for listening. For April O'Connor, I'm Alex Mandelberg with Richard Chassler. We have been the Cantalingus. Thank you and good night.
Bye.